This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to All Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thanks so much for being here today. Today, I am airing one of the conversations that I had in Boston called Journeys in Running, Benefiting Girls on the Run, Greater Boston. This conversation was co-hosted with my friend and author, Joanna Garten. She is the author of the new book, All in Stride, A Journey in Running, Courage, and the Search for the American Dream. All about the lives of Elvin Kabet and Shadrach Kipchirchir. Elvin also joined the panel in this discussion, and it was so fun to get to know her. Joanna, Elvin, and I also recorded an Instagram Live not too long ago, and if you just go to my Instagram feed, LindsayHine626, you can find our conversation with just the three of us there. In this conversation, Journeys in Running in Boston, we were also joined by Wazelle athletes Bree Bomer and Brenna Detry. Bree is a marathoner. She ran her first marathon at the age of 42 in 2:33. And Brenna is an 800 meter specialist with a PR of 1:59. This conversation, Joanna and I kick it off with a little bit of our own stories. And then we talk to the women about what brought them to where they are today. And it was a very well-rounded, inspiring conversation. I did my very best to make this audio as good as I possibly could. We recorded it in my H6 recorder, but there were some different mics floating around, so I did my best to even us out as best as I could. I really hope you enjoy it, and if you are looking for a good book, definitely go support Joanna and pick up her book, All in Stride. I wanted to mention too, part of this conversation, Elvin is part of the Army World Class Athlete Program, and we talk about that quite a bit in the podcast recording as well, and the book highlights that. I am such a big believer in supporting authors and supporting other people in the running industry, not just fellow podcasters, but authors and journalists, writers, anybody who's getting out there and helping with the storytelling to get more fans invested and excited about our sport. So take a moment and purchase this book, All in Stride. It's one of the best running books I've read in the past few years, and I read a lot of running books. I highly recommend it. If you enjoy the podcast, leave us a quick rating and review. Big thanks to Wazelle for hosting this event with Joanna and Girls on the Run as well. You all can learn more about Girls on the Run. If you aren't already paying attention to what they're doing, they are doing so much great work for young girls, not just physically, but emotionally as well. That's a huge piece of their program. And Girls on the Run Boston is just GOTR Boston on Instagram. And then of course there's Girls on the Run International as well. All right, friends, thanks for being here and enjoy my conversation with Joanna, Elvin, Brenna, and Bree.
My name is Kate Yenrick. Tonight, we're glad to have you here for this wonderful discussion. And I just want to share a couple words about Girls on the Run, especially our Boston chapter for anyone who might not know. Today, we actually are setting a record for the number of girls served for the first time. I haven't even told you the number yet. So we set a lofty goal to have 2,250 girls be a part of our spring program. And at the time of press right now, it's 2,249 with three more coming in. So we're going to break our record for the most girls served. Pete back there in the pink, who some of you may have talked to. It's our third largest season ever. Year ever, and it's only April, and we have a fall season as well. So if you do the mental math, we're going to serve thousands of girls this year, which is amazing. We are serving Eastern Massachusetts, so Worcester, for those who know what Worcester is, east, and then all along Cape Cod up to Provincetown. north to New Hampshire and beyond. So we have 150 teams this spring. We'll have almost 5,000 people at our 5K that we have. And I'm talking a lot about running, and I know you're going to hear a lot about running today, but our program is really focused on the social emotional learning that the girls do. So for all of you who do all the hard running but keep coming back to it because of the things it does for your mind and body, I just want to let you know that we're helping girls in third through eighth grade become familiar with that. So we learn how to manage our emotions, we learn how to stand up for ourselves, all while moving our bodies and enjoying being outside and together with our teammates. So thank you again. I'm gonna hand it over to your co-moderators, Lindsay Hine and Joanna Garten.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Wazelle, for hosting us and Girls on the Run. Joanna and I thought we would share a little bit of our own backstories with running to introduce the conversation. So I started running when I was 15, and my best friend convinced me to join the cross country team. And I'm assuming a lot of you in this room are runners, and I quickly fell in love with the sport. And I just turned 40 last year, which was this pinnacle that I was obsessing over for years. And at this point in my life, it is just as important now as it was then. I ran my first half marathon in 2005. And then I just kept going. And then I ran my first marathon in 2008. And along the way, I've had this struggle with fear in my life, and particularly when it comes to health-related things. And at one point, I started training for a half Ironman. And I was doing all these things that I'd never done before that I was scared of. I was scared to swim. I was scared to swim in the open water. But it gave me the ability to face some of these health-related fears that I had had for a really long time. I ended up finding out I had the BRCA2 gene mutation and opted to have a prophylactic double mastectomy. And this has kind of been like a 10-year journey now. But the common thread through all of it has been that when I move my body, when I run, when I try new things, it helps me find peace and it helps me find courage to do things that are really hard. And so I think all the women here on this stage today are gonna have stories that are powerful in their own ways. And I'm sure every single one of you sitting here has a story that running has helped you through as well. So that's just like a very brief backstory of my own running. I'm also the mom of four. I have four boys. And I definitely run to work through the like chaos inside of my home. And you know, my purpose has changed throughout the years with running. Like now it is so important for me. I think a lot of parents feel the same way. Like I want my boys to see that I run because not for exercise so much, but because I love it, because it's good for my body. And I have like hobbies and passions outside of being their mom. And maybe I hope one day one of them will run with me. So far, yes. We're not doing that, though. So I'll let Joanna take over and tell a little bit of her own story as well.
I love that last part because I love that you have four boys. Because we come here thinking, oh, we're going to talk exclusively about girls and women.
Yeah.
But there's so many incredible stories that we can teach our young boys, yes, too, about running and sport and moving our bodies. So, yay.
And I will say, I was so excited because, you know, there's a phenomenon right now going on with women's sports. Like, this is a really big moment in women's sports. And Caitlin Clark and Iowa basketball, my boys were just as excited about that game as they were the other games. So I was like, something's happening here.
Yes.
You know? So it's an exciting time.
Yeah. And they probably didn't even know that it was exciting. They were just excited about her and
they didn't care that this was a girls' basketball game. They were just excited and they think that, you know, Caitlin Clark is the GOAT and they're very pumped about it. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, that concept about not really being aware is kind of where my journey in running starts. I have been running for like 45 years. I'm 53 years old, and I was running when I was like 7 years old. It was 1977, And my mom was a marathon runner in the 70s and a big advocate in the women's rights movement and the movement to pass Title IX for girls. And so that passed in 72. Is that right? Yeah, yes. 72. Thank you, Melissa. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. It took a while for it to kind of happen. It did, but it's kind of all I've ever known. So I was running in elementary school and through middle and high school and just sort of didn't know that girls hadn't been doing that forever and ever, and was so blessed, I think, to not know that, to not know that it was actually kind of a big deal. And got to senior year of high school and really had enjoyed running and decided I'm just going to walk on my D1 college team, which like never happens now. So ran for Syracuse for 4 years and then became a marathoner, which happens all the time after you leave college sports and especially cross country, and have run more than 20 marathons. And it is sort of, like you said, Lindsay, my place of peace and my place where I find answers and sort of an escape from the stresses of motherhood and all of that. So yeah, lots to talk about. I am, I said, 53. So I've kind of come through the menopause transition too, which is a whole other part of the journey on the back end of where a lot of girls are right now. And I think there's more discussion happening around that particular piece of running for women. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, thank God too. Like that needs to be talked about.
Big time, yeah.
So can you talk about your life experiences with running, in the running industry as a writer, and what led you to write this book, which go buy it if you haven't, All in Stride, A Journey in Running Courage and the Search for the American Dream. How did your experience and meeting Elvin encourage you to write this?
Yeah, so I am a sports writer. I studied sports writing in college and then I got out of it for many, many years and came back to it maybe 10 years ago. And published a book in 2020 that was about a high altitude mountaineer who was a female. And so writing about badass women, I always say, is kind of my jam, badass female athletes. And so after that book was published, I really was looking for a new story. And I heard about the WCAP program, which is the World Class Athlete Program. It's a part of the U.S. Army based in Colorado Springs. And their distance runners are just incredible. And I didn't know about this program. And so I went down to one of their workouts and I met one of their runners at a workout. His name is Shadrach Kipchirchir. And I struck up a conversation with him. He was watching the workout. He was injured at the time. And he told me a little bit about his journey. He had been born in Kenya and came to the United States on a distance running scholarship. And he was married to Elvin, who was on the track doing 800 meter repeats. And I didn't know there was a married couple in this program. And he started telling me a little bit about her story, and it just kind of unraveled from there that I knew this was a story that really needed to be told.
Seriously, this book is so well written. It is so beautiful. I get a lot of running books sent my way, and I said this book and Lauren Fleshman's book are probably my two favorite running books I've had my hands on in the past couple years. They're just so well done.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah. It's a real testament to their lives and their stories. And I'm really honored that I was the one to be able to tell the story. Yeah.
I think Justine from Wazelle is going to come up and introduce our panel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Justine Fedronic. I'm the Community and Athlete Partnerships Manager at Wazelle. If you're not familiar with Wazelle, we're a by women for women running apparel brand. We have a mission to really celebrate the transformative power of sport. And that means working with powerful women like the one seated here. So the first one I'll introduce is the star of this beautiful book. I highly recommend reading it. Elvin Cabet. Elvin was born in Kenya. She earned a scholarship to the University of Arizona. And you can read the rest of her story here. Our next athlete is Brenna Detra, who is one of our Wazelle sponsored athletes. Brenna trains in Boston. She is an 800 meter specialist and she is chasing her Olympic dreams this year. And then we've got Bree Bomer. Bree is also a Wazelle marathoner. She's got a really beautiful and inspiring story. She first started her first attempt at the marathon was at the age of 42, and she ran 2:33. So she is showing us what women are truly capable of. And I'll hand it off to them.
Oh, thank you so much, Justine. Well, Elvin, let's start with you. Tell us, like, what did you think when Joanna said,
I want to write a book about your life.
So when Joanna came in, so you first came to talk to Shadrach, and you know, I never thought someone would ever come to me and say, you know, we're writing a book about you, and it was such an honor. Me and Joanna, our conversations were so natural. It's almost like I knew you before we even met. It's really amazing, and we just hit the road running, and for me, it was mostly like I felt honored to be a part of that and to tell our stories that way for generations to come. You know, Milo, my son, is only 2 years old, and I want to do that for him to, you know, for his generations to come too. You know, there'll be a day I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be able to tell my grandchildren great-great-grandchildren how I immigrated this country and, you know, all that. So, but the book is there to tell them the story. So that was very important.
Now that you've been through this process with me, is there one particular piece of the story or of the book that you feel is most important or that you're most proud of that's out there in the world?
I think especially growing up, you know, in Kenya, telling that story, like how, you know, and found the opportunity to come to the U.S. and, you know, that transition was very important to me because it changed my life, really. Yeah. You know, I don't know where I would be, maybe somewhere in the village. I don't know. I don't even want to imagine it. But, you know, that part of my life coming here, really, very important to me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Army program that you're a part of?
Yes. So the Army World Class Athlete Program, a lot of people don't know so much about it because a lot of people don't, you know, the Army doesn't really do a good job in, you know, giving out information of what it is. And for me, I got to learn it from my husband already in the program. He joined in 2014. And it's really a very neat program because it cultivates, you know, the talents. We have boxing, taekwondo, swimming. We have all the events really pretty much in the Olympics. And a lot of people don't know that. And but you first have to join the Army, become a soldier. You are a soldier first, right? And that's your mission. You go in, like for me, I went into basic training. You do all your training. So for me, I do finance for the Army. But then you are an athlete second. The sports come second. And so there are all these sports. There's track and field, swimming, boxing, wrestling, you know, all that. And I would like people to know that because they only think it's only track and field. There's so many other sports, you know. And for me, it was a very special program for me to join because first I get to serve my country, you know, give back to a country that has given me so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read the book, I didn't have much coming here, but now I have all this life built for myself and my husband, my family. And it was a way for me to give back. And also, how many times do you get a chance to serve the country and still follow your passion? Mm. You know, we love running so much, you know, from even my sisters, the Olympians before even I started running. And running is so part of my life that it's so important. And that passion, I wanted to continue that at the same time still serving the country. So WCAP has enabled me to do that. And that's why I joined.
Wow. And those of you who might not know about the program, Lenny Career, who was third place at the U.S. Olympic trials, he's also in the same program. So you all have a great team of people.
We do. Yeah. We have a lot of Olympians. I mean, in 2016, we put four guys in the Olympics. And that was just, and many people had known that of the program. So they were like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
And a lot of people really wanted to know. And I wish, you know, we'd do a better job, you know, telling who we are and, you know, and a lot of people. But I'm glad that the book is now really giving a lot of information and what WCAP is. And really it's open for everybody to join, really. But you first have to join the Army. that's the catch. But yeah, over the years we've had, two more athletes go to the Olympics and now Lenny hopefully will make the standard and make the team. and we've had Bernard Gutter. He did make the Olympic team. So the program really is full of talented, hardworking, and I'm really grateful to be part of that.
That's beautiful. Okay, we've got an 800 meter runner sandwiched between two marathoners. Britta, tell us a little bit about your journey to working with Wazelle.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to the University of Wisconsin on a full ride track scholarship.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And then I guess like as I was graduating or nearing graduation, I kind of assumed that I needed to get a full-time job. So I moved out to Boston and got a job and continued working with BAA. And I was going to all of these meets and seeing people were doing this for a living. I mean, it sounds so silly, but I was very naive to the whole like running professional thing. And after like my first year, I was like, you know, I really want this. This is something I feel like I haven't accomplished everything I have in the sport. So from there, I basically just really hit the ground running and tried to work as hard as I could and get people to notice. And my coach, Anna Willard, actually ran for Wazelle back in the day. So she had mentioned Wazelle, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. It's for women, by women. I was raised by a single mom. So all of those things kind of resonated with me. And yes, it's been great so far.
One of the things I'm always fascinated about is how coaching has changed for women over the past decades. What have you seen in your time in the sport that's been
Loaded question. I feel like at Wisconsin, I mean, at Wisconsin, we had a lot of shifting of coaches. And actually at the time, I think we had an all-male staff. And I think it's really difficult for women to come into coaching, especially if they're the only person on an all-male staff, especially at the collegiate level, with like there's already not many women coaching track and field. So I guess it was, but it was almost kind of assumed that's just how it was. But now I feel like more women are willing to take roles of authority and being in, I guess, major roles at universities and higher roles. And I think that's changed as I've gotten older in the sport. And also as I've gotten older, it really doesn't matter who your coach is. I feel like everybody kind of has like the wand. Nobody has a magic wand with like training. It's pretty much... But like everybody has enough resources and they can make anything happen as long as you like will work at it. And that's what I've seen has improved in the sport. So
I want to hear more about your mom.
Yes.
What did you learn from your mom at raising you as a single mom?
Yeah, a lot. I get emotional. So my mom, she's white and my dad is black. And I think it was really hard growing up from Peoria, Illinois, for those of you that may or may not know. A very segregated city. I didn't really talk to my dad much growing up. My mom was really doing everything. I have a brother with Down syndrome and then a sister who has epilepsy. So, and my mom, she is a warrior. And she always would tell me to just stick my mind to it. You can do anything you could put your mind to. And I definitely get my competitive edge from her. And she just kept me very shielded from anything negative, I would say. And she just actually retired last year. She worked for the state for 27 and a half years. DCFS, a really, really hard job. And never let me know when she was really having a bad day. She's a superhero for real.
I mean, that's amazing. Wow. Bree, we've got a different story from you. Running your first marathon at 42, that's amazing. Tell us your story and how you got into marathoning.
I mean, I've been an athlete my entire life, but I got to running sort of late at the like tail end of high school, which I know is not super late, but it's later than all of my teammates. All my teammates have been running for a long time, and I just had come into it after I literally could not make the varsity team of any other sport. So I was like, okay, my dad was like, why don't you try running? And I was like, more than a mile? It didn't sound fun, but I was like, okay. And it happened to be something that I was good at. So I found joy in it. I also, my mom passed away when I was really young, and my dad was working all the time, so I was home alone a lot, and running instantly gave me this, like, community and, like, a team and people who cared about me. So that was just, like, a really cool thing. So I kind of gravitated to it for the fact that I could actually do it and that I had people that were kind of there for me, that were excited for me to be there. So did that, and it happened to be something I could do where I got to the point, you know, after starting my sophomore year of high school that I won a state title. I'm from Colorado and was able to have some universities pay attention to me a little bit. So I was able to get a scholarship at the University of Colorado and ran with the likes of Kara Goucher, Kara Wheeler at the time. And when I was running, and then I transferred to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I ran with some amazing runners there, some Olympians. And the whole time I'm running with these people where I could run with them. And so in my mind, I thought maybe someday I could go to the Olympic trials. But as life would have it, and I think a lot of us, you know, we have dreams that just don't quite happen the way we think they will. Got injured a lot, decided to just kind of give up on that dream, went after business goals, did some triathlons and some Ironmans, and just kind of kept myself busy. And then when the pandemic hit, I realized one of the things I just loved that would bring me joy is to go running and just to run. You know, all of us were cooped up. So I just started running more. And when races came back up, I thought, you know, I've always wanted to do a marathon. And again, not thinking about the Olympic trials, which were a goal when I was in my 20s, just as like, I want to run a marathon. And so I went to the race, not literally having any expectations. I was able to sneak my way into the elite field somehow. And I remember I had like a makeshift bib. And I went to like the start line and they had like a gate kind of. This was at the California International Marathon. And they're like, no, you can't come in here. I'm like, no, I promise. They said I can. You know? So like, she finally lets me in. And I'm like, okay, I'm standing at the back. You know, nobody knows who I am. And just, I don't know, the whole day just enjoyed my day and the fact that I got to do something I loved. And I remember the whole time running thinking, that seems kind of fast, but I'm having fun. And getting to the finish line and seeing the time and going, wait, that just happened? And it was a dream that I'd had, you know, since I was in my 20s. And here I was 42 doing it. So I think it was just one of those things where, you know, when I was younger, I sometimes think about, like, why didn't I pursue and keep pushing and just not give up? But sometimes I think the dreams that we have, we're supposed to hit them at different times. And for me, it was supposed to be then, you know. And for me to realize that, even if I had a dream 20 years ago, truly 20 years later, I could still hit it.
So. Wow. Oh my gosh. It just gives me the chills. Mm-hmm.
She ran at 2:33.
2:33.
Right. She didn't say her time.
She didn't say her time. Yes.
I'll say it for you.
Yes. Yes. I just, yeah, totally impressive. I just love your story because it comes from this very current, later in life-ish, 42, whatever.
So young.
Yeah. So young. Place of joy, really. And so she's running on Monday, which is amazing. And I just, yeah, so inspired by you. So in terms of Monday, I don't want to ask you like what your expectations are, but I want to know kind of what it means to you to be here running in the elite field on Monday, which is just incredible.
It means a lot because now I'm 45. So I'm even older. And, again, the dreams of trying to run Olympic trials, elite races, to do that now. I truly don't care what my place or time is. I get to run in this field. I was running with my husband this afternoon. We're running down the path and Des Linden comes by and I'm like, it's Des Linden. And then I'm like, wait, I get to run with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to run. I mean, maybe it'll be just like a minute, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it means just so much. And the race director, Mary Kate, like, I was actually supposed to run in the elite field the last 2 years, but was injured. And each time I got injured, she's like, it's okay, you can come next year. And I'm like, really? Because that's not usually how I feel it works. But I think we just make these rules of how things should happen. And it's not necessarily always the case. So she was giving me that opportunity and saying, no, you're worthy. And I'm like, oh, wait, I am. I'm worthy to do this. So it just means so much. I'm so excited to just experience it no matter what happens. It's such an honor to be able to do it, and it may be the last time, who knows, but that I get to do it at this age, I can't even describe.
I struggle with like obsessing over age to an annoying extent. I'm curious how you handle that. Can you block it out and just be like, I'm a runner and I can run fast and it doesn't matter? Or do you think about that timeline?
That's a great question. I don't, because I realize, I mean, I am running faster now than I did in my 20s. And so I just don't, like, in my 20s, I would have never thought to run a 2:33 marathon. I just really, like, when I crossed the finish line, I looked at the time and like, what? You know, it just didn't make sense to me. And so now I don't associate my age at all. I don't, I mean, yes, when I wake up, maybe I don't feel as great in my 20s, but I don't really remember, you know. I mean, it's like, I realize that it's just not what it is. I mean, at some point I will slow down, but not right now. I feel great. And so why add some sort of like arbitrary thing on there, mm-hmm. that I'm not experiencing? Like, I'm not experiencing that I don't feel good. I am running better than I ever have. So, and I think that we need to do that in so many things, not just our athletics. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think as a society, sometimes we look at people that are younger than us, maybe like a decade younger, and we think, oh, all these successes that they're having, and I'm so far ahead of them age-wise, but I haven't done that yet. And it's hard not to get caught up in that trap there.
It's very hard. I mean, business-wise, I find myself all the time, if I find somebody who's more accomplished and has done yeah. more and they're 25, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, but I think if you can just step back for a second and realize, like, everyone's path and story is different. And if you're feeling what you're doing is accomplishing the things that you need to at that moment, like, it really doesn't, it's hard because society is much more, like, when I was in my 20s, we didn't have social media, so I didn't mm-hmm. see all of this. And so now that you see it, I get that it is a lot harder, but we still have a choice to not, you know, yeah. follow that, so.
Can you talk about the community of women with Wazelle? I guess both of you could talk about being on the team. And just the kind of support that you receive and how that's so important to your success in your running.
I guess, like, monetary wise and also like a community of women, this is so hard to do professional running. And also we have a very short window. I know I'm going to flip the script a little bit in track and field to be really good at this sport. So I think I am so grateful that I guess they see potential in me and they're willing to support me through this journey. It's all of the PT appointments, all of the just never ending whatever you have going on is just really hard. And I did it by myself for 4.5 years and I never take it for granted. And now that I actually do have support, I just think it'll allow me to catapult to the next level with women who have had support all of their years of professional running. So that was kind of the one piece I thought I was missing competing with the women that I do. I'm like, man, they have like the shiny shoes, the shiny whatever. And I would just go up to the line like, dang, I'm already beat. So now that I have Wazelle, I just can focus on competing and doing what I've always known I can do. So
I'll tell like a little story. I had so Wazelle had this Underbird program for the Olympic trials, and I had read the description of the Underbird program, and I'm like, gosh, that's me, you know, like I've been this like little engine that could, but just didn't quite get it. And when I was in my 20s, I mean, my husband and I both would write letters to sponsors being like, please, like, you know, you don't have to give me much. I'm trying to see what I can accomplish. And so I was like, you know, whatever, I'm older, but I'm, you know, and also I ran 2:33, but I ran it 3 weeks too early. So the window for the trials starts on January 1st, and I ran it on December like 5th. So I had to run it again. So technically, I didn't even have it. And so I'm writing in. I'm like, I know I don't have it, but like, I hope you'll see something in me, which is what I'd always said to these sponsors. And I remember getting the email from Justine, and the start was like, if you've ever applied to college and they're like, your application was wonderful, but she's like, we got so many wonderful applications, but I'm like, oh, I didn't get it. And she's like, we'd like to, you know, invite you in. I'm like, wait, what? I got this, you know? And it was that feeling of, again, like people believe in me. And that was the start of what I think is so special about Wazelle. And I hope that this happens with more companies and brands, is that they're seeing the things that other people don't see. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to sponsor Tiger Woods. Like, you know, it's like they're already amazing. What about the people who haven't quite gotten there but could if you helped them? So, and then just, yeah, the community, like meeting people, it's like, I, you know, meet Brenda today, and I'm like, this is wonderful. Yeah. Awesome. You know, and I mean, I've been in a locker room before wearing a Wazelle shirt that doesn't even say Wazelle, just has little birds on it, and have somebody go like, Wazelle, and I'm like, a family. Like, it's so, there's something about that, and having no family growing up, that has meant a lot too. So yeah, there's just something very special about all that.
Can you talk about that part of your story a little bit more? Just the lack of support growing up, and then how now that you have this, how that's changed your life?
Sure, yeah. So growing up, you know, my mom passed away when I was 19 months old. My dad was working pretty much 24/7, and so he wasn't really around a lot. And like I said, running definitely was the first time, that wasn't until high school, that I had like family. And then when I kind of gave up on my running, I think for sure the idea of having community and family kind of disappeared. And for me, that has been very difficult, just feeling worthy and feeling like I matter. And so when Wazelle came, I actually wrote this in my letter to Wazelle too. I've been purchasing their stuff since day one. I mean, I have some very OG Wazelle stuff, you know? And you know, you have from the outside, you can see there's this community, but you're like, oh, I'm not sure. And so when I was actually inserted in, I'm like, wow, there really is this community. And I really feel like loved by the people. And so, I mean, in every facet, like I said, I've run into people who are part of Wazelle just out and about, and it's like instant family. And it, as cheesy as it sounds, people don't have to be family to be your family. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, is what this has done. Yeah.
That's so true. Elvin, let's talk about being a woman in the Army and pursuing your running goals and being a mom. What challenges have you faced?
A lot of challenges, actually. When I first decided to join the Army, I didn't expect that there was not a lot of women in the Army. And then I got in, and, you know, you find your commander is a man, your first sergeant is a man, your first platoon sergeant is a man, everybody. And actually, track and field, I was the only female in track and field when I joined. And it was definitely a lot of challenges, you know, and some of it, you know, as you can read through the book, I am pretty resilient. So some of the things I just say, you know, whatever. But after the baby, I feel like I got some confidence in me, and I would speak, you know, for myself. I would stand up for myself a little more. And but the Army, there's really not much you can do about it unless more women join. But we, you know, the few women that I had in the leadership positions in the Army definitely helped. And there was somebody who was retired, and she was very supportive to Shadrach and the team in 2016. And she was still very supportive for me, especially when I had a baby and I was struggling to come back, and they cut me from the program because you should look at their standards, very high. Standards are very high, and I couldn't meet the benchmark for the year. You're pregnant for 9 months, you only have 3 more months. I mean, yeah, it's almost impossible to make the benchmark. So I pleaded with them. I said, I have potential here, it's an Olympic year, and I give me more time. And they did say, we give you one more chance. We give you one chance to do the Olympic trials for the marathon. So remember, I was a 10K runner. And after the baby, I knew I was going to be a marathoner, but not that quick, turn around. Like, okay, now we'll do 40 kilometers instead of 12 miles. Long run. So, but I had no option. I love running so much, and I see so much hope. And I said, you know what? Bring it on. Let's do it. I don't know how, but yeah, let's go. And I trained very hard. And I would admit, it was one of the toughest things I ever did. Mm. You know, you're juggling between breastfeeding and, you know, being up all night. And then, you know, my husband is also a runner, he's an Olympian and all that. So he also has to train very hard, and we're all exhausted, and the baby is here crying, and yes, it was a mess. but we did it. I finally made the Olympic trials time standard for, I used to have to do it. Yeah. And I'm glad there's that option because I don't know. I don't know what I would have done, really. I would not have done the full marathon for sure. And yeah, you know, for me, I wish there would be more, you know, female leaders, especially in the Army, you know. And but my coach, Scott Simmons, has been so gracious. Like, he was from day one. He supported me so much. It reminds me of my coach in college, Coach Lee. You know, he also coached Bernard Lagat. And just really amazing beings out there. And I got a lot of, you know, they say it takes a village, right? I had the whole village really behind me, including Joanna. You know, she was right there with me, helping me out and really giving me the support that I needed to get to the starting line for the Olympic trials. So, yeah.
It was really amazing to go through this process with you and to have Elvin become pregnant in the course of writing this book and doing this research and then watching her kind of have an okay pregnancy, but a very difficult childbirth and the inability to come back as fast as, you know, her leadership expected she would. And to then be cut from the program, it was a little bit like Twilight Zone, that it was really still happening in 2023, to be honest. So pretty resilient there the past few years. I want to know what it was like to make that Olympic qualifying time in the half and then run in Orlando with your husband. There have been very few husband-wife teams who have done that. And what was that experience like?
It was very, it was like amazing moment for me. I mean, when you, if you saw me finish the half, you thought I won the Olympics. I was happy, jumping up and down and hugging my husband. We were just, people were like, what, you got fifth? What's going on? Are we missing something? But for me, really, it meant everything, you know, to continue the running or not. Because otherwise, I would have gone back to, you know, my Army job, finance, which is kind of boring. Sorry for finance people. But I wasn't ready to do that yet. I wanted to really be at the Olympic trials. And making the standard was absolutely amazing. And also for my family. Because Shadrach, my husband, made the Olympic team in 2016. And I was not a U.S. citizen back then. I was just in the bleachers watching him and nervous as heck. But he did make the team, and it was amazing. And then 2020, he was injured. And that's when you came in in 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was injured and he didn't go to the trials. And I did the 10K trials. Mm. And so 2020, you know, this past trials was very important for us because, you know, we're looking into, you know, having more children in the future and building, you know, family and other goals. So I wasn't sure if we will have another chance like that. You know, this was it. And Shadrach had already made the standard. So it was just me to make the standard to get there. So it was very precious.
So are they going to be like making changes with that program? Like, I'm just...
Lindsay's hung up on that.
I'm a little bit hung up on that. Yeah. Because like you mentioned, like you couldn't believe that that's still happening in this time. And we've seen all these other brands make big changes with giving women time to come back. Do you think that your story and being part of the program is going to motivate them to make changes in that regard?
I hope so. Yeah. Because when I got pregnant and I told my commander, you know, okay, baby's coming, and there was no pregnancy policy, really. You know, we have the big Army policy, which is very progressive. You know, you get 4 months and then to take care of your baby, leave, paid leave, and then after that you get 1 year to really do the PT. That's for running, and running is only 2 miles. For me, I could do that. I think for my age, it's probably like 18 minutes, which we can. But for WCAP, you know, their standards are much. You have to make the Olympic team. Mm. So, I mean, yeah. If you don't, you're out. So it's kind of cutthroat a little bit. And for me, I would like to just see, you know, in the future, maybe become a little more progressive, you know. And work on their policy so that it can accommodate, you know, because now you will be making women choose between having a family or being in the program. really. Wow. And you see other brands sponsors, they're really doing amazing job out there, you know, telling women, yes, you can, we give you a chance. And, you know, and not everybody's recovery journey is the same. Like, mine was really difficult. And some people have it, you know, not so bad, and some people struggle to come back. And I hope someday we'll, you know, the program will see, accommodate that and say, you know, everybody's journey is different and they give you enough time to come back.
And then your career can be longer. Bree, you, or Bree, yes, Brenna. See, the Brenna Bree thing, it's too close. You ran in your first Pan Am Games this past summer. Tell us about it.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. I guess I didn't realize Pan Am's was like a mini Olympics. I mean, it really was. There were so many sports that I didn't even know existed. And I just tried to talk to as many people as I could from other countries, get their story, how they ended up there. And it was an unreal experience. When we went out for like the first round, they told us before that like the sound was very deafening because there were so many people there. And I was like, oh, whatever, it'll be fine. And I like go out there, I'm like, oh God, okay, deep breath. It was packed to the brim. And then I was able to make the final. And yeah, that was exciting. Because I didn't think I would make it to the start line. I had a rough end of my outdoor season with my knee. I have a bad knee, story for another day. But to make the final off of the training that I had, it just felt like I was doing exactly what I was meant to do. So it was just such an unreal experience. I still talk to people from Pan Am's too. They're like keeping up with me, and it's great.
What do you think about all of us crazy marathoners?
Nothing. I mean, I get asked all the time if I'm a marathoner, and I'm like, absolutely not. No. I mean, you guys are just dedicated. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I like to think I'd run a marathon at some point, but I don't know if I could willingly sign myself up and go out there and do it. It's just a lot of running, but yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, the Boston Marathon obviously has a rich history, and I've been living in Boston for 6 years now, and it's really cool to see everybody coming in for this marathon weekend and just making the most of it. So yeah, I love you guys, but I don't think I'll ever run that much.
But we're a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
I think they might
be. Yeah.
I have a question for Brenna. What can we, as fans of the sport, mm-hmm. of track and field and distance running, what can we do to elevate, okay. in particular, women in the sport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I think in track and field, it does have an issue with publicity, I guess, getting the sport out there. And then obviously women probably have a tougher time than men. And like you said, with Caitlin Clark, I think that's finally coming to light, like WNBA. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't think I've ever watched a WNBA game, but I will this year. And I think it just takes like telling more stories about women in track and field. We all have our own background, and really, really cool to hear about these two women up here. And I think just like putting that out there in the media, it'll resonate with someone, and then that person will tell someone else that story. So I think really it starts there, and then using social media is just, unfortunately, I mean, what it takes nowadays. And I think social media, I think getting it out on, I guess, TV, just talking about it more and telling stories will be a good step for sure.
More podcasts.
Yes.
Well, I think we'll close here and open it up to a couple questions if anybody has questions. And I always close my podcast with the question, what is your last message to leave with the audience? And that can be a big, profound thing. It can be just a little tiny snippet. Don't overthink it. But what would be your message to leave with our audience today?
Mine is literally, whatever your goals are, it's not too late. Like, mm-hmm. it really is true. And I proved it to myself, and I've doubted it for years, but I'm glad that I learned that lesson, because there's a lot of things that I still want to do that I'm now trying to do. So if there's something you wanted to do, do it. It really doesn't, we set really weird rules, and I don't know why we do it. So don't regret not trying.
For me, very easy. Don't let ever let anyone tell you you can't do something. I've had so many people in my life, coaches, doctors tell me, you know, this is probably it. You need to hang it up. Like, and I was like, no, like, I'm going to do exactly what I put my mind to. And I've accomplished pretty much everything I've said out loud. So far. So yeah, never be afraid to go after what you want.
For me, I would say you're more resilient than you think. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Sometimes maybe it's a marathon race and you're at 21 miles and you don't have the wheels anymore. But or, you know, it's, you know, medical issue or whatever, it's family issue. You are more resilient than you give yourself credit. You know, you will come out of the other side and you say, wow, I did that. And it's only because you push yourself. You don't give up. And keep going. There's always the light at the end of the tunnel.
Hmm. Yeah, you gotta go.
I was gonna say, can't top that. Wow. One thing I've learned through writing the book is I've always felt like if I'm not a professional, I'm not really contributing anything to the sport. But one thing I've learned is there's so much more to our sport than feet on pavement. You can be a journalist, you can be an advocate, you can be a fan, you can be a writer. So being able to find your place in this community, even if it's not the actual act of running, has been something that I have learned through this process and something I hope that people take away.
I guess I can give one too. My message is always just don't be complacent. I kind of live in this like mindset of like, if it's fun, just go do it. Do you guys know the Enneagram? I'm in Enneagram 7, and I just, like, I just want to do what's fun, and I do it. And so I think that we get complacent, though, and kind of get in that hamster wheel of life. And so I always just encourage people to, it sounds a little crazy, maybe you should try. I just got chickens a couple weeks ago just because I kind of wanted chickens. You know? Just do it. Just have some fun. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, Wazelle, Girls on the Run, Joanna, for presenting me with this opportunity. And of course, Elvin, Brenna, and Bree. I loved learning more about your stories and can't wait to follow along your journey. Thanks for being here, and we will see you next time on I'll Have Another.